You're listening to the Parkside Christian Church podcast. Here at Parkside, our mission is to love God, love people, and help others do the same. To learn more, visit ParksideChristian.com.
All right, I hope we're awake now. I just want to say good morning. My name's Matt, and I'm the lead pastor here at Parkside. And it is my pleasure, it is my joy to be with you all here this morning as we go through our Christmas series, Light of the World. The past few weeks, we've been looking at prophecies from the Old Testament that said that this light of the world was coming, and we've looked at how Jesus is the fulfillment of these prophecies. And today, we are taking a step further in this series, and we're looking at how Jesus, the light of the world, is our source of joy. We're going to be looking at a phrase in a passage today that says, "This joy shall be for all people. This joy shall be for all people." And usually, if you went to pastor school and you learned how to speak real good, you want to have tension. At the start of your message, you want to ask a really provocative question that makes everyone question reality. But that's not this morning. As we talk about the joy shall be for all people, I'm not trying to present you with tension. I'm not trying to present you with a question. I want to give you joy today. Today, I want you to walk out of here or finish watching online, and I want you to say, I can have joy. And to start off, I just have to say, there is a difference between joy and being happy. There's a difference between happiness and being joyful. And this is why it's so important for us to study God's word in community with other believers and in service to other people. Because if we hear God's word, if we know God's word, but we don't experience it, we can miss things like the difference between joy and happiness. When we do live in community with other believers and in the midst of serving others, we can understand and experience God's truth at a deeper level. We can be blessed with an even richer grasp of God's truth. Not because some hidden or obscure thing is revealed to us mystically in a moment, but because we hear and see God's word more intimately when we experience the power of God in the midst of community with others. And so for me, this week, as I prepared my message for you guys, as I prepared to share, and I thought, how can I give them joy? The context that I was writing my whole message in, the community of people I was surrounded by, was the pediatric cancer floor at Children's Hospital. Most of my message was prepared and pulled together and prayed over next to my daughter's hospital bed as she waits for her immune system to rebound. And that is one of the most difficult realities, maybe in all of Cincinnati. If you look at places where it would be challenging to have joy, maybe in all of Cincinnati, the cancer floor at Children's Hospital might be the one. There are people there that have come from out of country. There are people that have come from second and third opinions looking for a special treatment that might provide them with hope. There are people that have relapsed once, twice, and are looking at years of treatment. People who have just gotten new diagnosis, and what they thought were their plans are something completely different. They know that they have to go 3 years, maybe more, for the hope of their child living a normal life. A full life. That's a really challenging place. Now, I'm really blessed in this moment because my daughter's not there receiving treatment right now. My daughter's there making sure she stays healthy and she doesn't get sick. But she's got energy right now. She's got everything but an immune system. And so we're there, and our ANC, our immune system, is at zero for 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, 5 days. And we got to 1 week of being at zero before it finally started to kick up, and hopefully we're going to get out in the next day or so. But I remember working on my message and having my morning devotions and looking at Everly and saying, "Hey, Everly," she's three, Hey, Everly, maybe one of the reasons God still has us here, besides protecting us, besides caring for us, what if he wants us to encourage and bring joy to the other people that are here, the other patients, the employees, the staff that has to deal with really difficult situations all the time? What if he wants us to bring joy to the people we come in contact with? And so then after that conversation, Everly and I were on a joy mission. And for the rest of the time I got to spend with her this week, we were making cards in the craft room. At one point, she was unironically running down the hall singing the Bee Gees classic, ah, ha, 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 staying alive, staying alive. It's a great thing for a kid with cancer to be singing in the... You kind of go, hey, Everly, you know, let's pick a different song. Having a great time doing that. She was giving out candy. She was giving out dinner mints and leaving them at the nurse's desk. At one point, we ran out of dinner mints, and so she went and got her Nerds, these little tiny, like, candies that she's learning to swallow pills with by taking those, and she poured them all in a cup and left them at the front desk. We'll give those to everybody, Dad. I don't know how that worked out. She would give people her bracelets, these little bracelets we've got that say forever's forever. She would give them to complete strangers, and they'd go, oh, what's this for? And she'd go, it's to remind you to pray for me. And then we'd bump into them later, and they'd go, oh, look, I've got your bracelet. She'd go, did you pray for me? Right? Like, have you done your homework? But then she also had this little purse full of temporary tattoos, and she's all tatted up because she just thinks they're the best. But she would give them to people. They would say, oh, look, you've got tattoos. And she'd go, I have some in my purse. Would you like one? And who says no to a little kid, right? Oh, yeah, sure, I'll take one. And she goes, let's put it on now. She'd apply it to their one arm, and then she'd go, you need one for your other arm, too. So there's all these people at Children's Hospital with tattoos on both arms. And they would walk away, and she would look at me, and she would smile. And she'd go, Dad, do you think I made their day? There's a difference between happiness and joy. Because joy can be a strength in the midst of difficult and painful situations. If you can find a way to not let someone steal your joy, you are ready for whatever storm life might bring. So as we look today at joy, we'll discover that the source of unending joy flows from the person and the character of Jesus. Children's Ministry, all series long, has been covering the same topics and passages that we've had. Actually, we've been following them and following their studies in our study times here on Sunday mornings. And today, they're looking at the announcement of Jesus' birth and how God shared a lot about who Jesus was and how he was announced. They're learning the meaning of the name Savior, Christ, and Lord. We'll be looking at that too. And they're going to be reminded that Jesus came to their rescue. And we're going to be looking at how Jesus, because of all those things, is the source of our joy. But before we get to that phrase in Luke chapter 2 where the angels say, I bring you good news that will be cause for great joy for all the people. Before we get to that, I want us to even look further at what joy is in Scripture. To do that first, we're going to open up. We're going to have it on the screen. It's going to be Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. We're going to look at a few different examples in different places in Scripture, and then we're going to finish in Luke chapter 2. In Nehemiah 8, verse 10, Nehemiah is celebrating rebuilding the walls. This is after the prophecies of Isaiah. This is after the exile where they're led away as slaves. A group of them come back, led by Nehemiah, and they rebuild the walls. And this is what it says in Nehemiah 8:10. Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. in the start of 2024, January 2024, we're actually going to be doing a series on Nehemiah, and I'm so excited about it. It's going to be called Pray, Act, Repeat, and that's because that's the pattern that Nehemiah followed. He saw a need, he prayed, he took action, and then he started over. He said, I'm going to pray some more. But in this moment, they've accomplished a wonderful, incredible thing. They've built these walls to protect their city, Jerusalem. But Nehemiah's situation is really similar to what Isaiah was prophesying about when I said a couple weeks ago that it was a dark world and it was about to get darker. Rebuilding the walls was a challenging situation for Nehemiah and the Israelites. And just because they built the walls didn't mean that their lives were going to get less challenging. They had something to celebrate, but they also knew the road they had in front of them. And in this verse, I've always loved the phrase, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Because we like being strong, right? But what does it mean that the joy of the Lord is a strength to us? What does Nehemiah mean when he tells the people that? He is letting them know who God is. And what God can do is a source of great joy for us. The character of who God is a strength in any circumstance. Remembering who God is can be reason enough for you and I to celebrate, for you and I to have joy. The next passage I want to look at this morning that talks about joy is a situation where somebody's repenting. It's Psalm 51, and it's David repenting to God. In this moment, David is writing the psalm. He's repenting to God. His life is a mess. David has let his desires get the best of him. He has forced himself on this married woman. He's had this married woman's husband killed. He's lost his own child as a result of this. I mean, he has gone through immense mess because of his choices. But this is what he writes to God. We get to read his journal. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Don't cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. David's repenting. He's saying, God, I have missed the mark. I have made a mess of my life and I've caused other people pain. He's lost his joy. In the pursuit of, honestly, happiness, in the pursuit of pleasure, he's lost his joy. And the source of his joy is his relationship with God. He says, restore to me the joy of your salvation. He's saying, if I don't know if I'm right with you, God, if I don't know if I'm in good standing with you, I can't have joy. I can't experience peace. Knowing that we have been restored by God is reason to have joy. If we can know that we are right with God, that is a reason to have joy. I want to look at one more example as we lead up to Luke chapter 2. I want to look at one more situation where somebody experienced joy or exhibited joy and the truth that we can take from that. And this story is in the New Testament, and it's actually one chapter before the chapter we are going to finish in Luke chapter 2 today. It's Luke chapter 1, and the person I want to look at is Mary, Jesus' mother. See, Mary, she managed to have joy in what had to have been an incredibly challenging and difficult circumstance. The angel Gabriel, comes to Mary and tells her that her life will be altered incredibly. We would look at this news as amazing today, as wonderful, but for her, it would have been terrifying and life-changing. Even though Mary was not married, even though she had not been with a man, she was going to give birth to a baby, is what the angel came to communicate. This baby would be the chosen one whose kingdom would never end. So no small thing. It's not just the unexpected is going to happen. It is going to impact the entire world. And after a short conversation with the angel, she's obedient to God's plan. In verse 38, it says she tells the angel, I am the Lord's servant. It's essentially her saying, okay. She hears it, she processes a little bit, and then she says, may it be so. There are so many thoughts, feelings, fears, questions, reservations that have to be underneath those words, I am the Lord's servant. Okay, may it be so. The very next verse, verse 39 in chapter 1, says that she got ready and hurried to the hill country to visit her relative Elizabeth. Do you see what's going on in that moment? There's lots of reasons to visit a relative, but she's leaving town because she cannot all of a sudden be pregnant in this culture. This would be a huge issue, and not just dangerous to her reputation, but dangerous to her very well-being. Now you're beginning to understand how powerful of a statement it was one verse ago when she says, I'm your servant. It was no small thing. But even though she's being obedient to God, I still believe that she is very far from being joyful about what she's being obedient to God with. She's still very far from being joyful about God's plan for her life. But listen to what happens to her next. She arrives at her relative Elizabeth's house, who is also pregnant. Elizabeth is pregnant with John the Baptist, who will spend the rest of his life announcing the arrival of Jesus. And when Mary greets Elizabeth, John the Baptist, this baby in Elizabeth's womb, leaps for joy. And listen to what Elizabeth says to Mary as she's filled with the Holy Spirit in this moment. Luke 1, 42 through 45. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. She greets Mary. I mean, it says it like literally shouting to her, blessed are you. Look at the impact of Elizabeth's spirit-filled words on Mary. Verses 46 through 48, Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of my humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. Mary's joy in verses 46 through 48 really embodies what we're talking about when I say that there is a difference between joy and happiness. There is a depth and a resiliency to joy. Let me explain. Mary goes from obedience to joy when she speaks with Elizabeth. What changes in that short conversation? Luke 38, she says, I'm God's servant. But in Luke 46 through 48, she's rejoicing. It's Elizabeth's Holy Spirit-filled encouragement. Elizabeth tells Mary what God thinks of her. Elizabeth says, do you realize how you've been blessed by God? Do you realize how beloved you are to God? She lets Mary know how God sees Mary. And Mary is so filled with joy that it flows out of her life. And that's what rejoicing is. When we rejoice, it's when something is built up so much in us that we have to shout it out. We have to say it to someone else. Sometimes we need to recognize, we need to witness God's words, God's truth, God's feelings about us so we can realize that he has given us joy. We can rejoice because he has given us reason to be joyful. She didn't just feel stuck in her circumstances. She knew how God felt about her, and God became the source of her joy. Okay, I'm hoping I haven't put you to sleep yet, because we're finally to Luke chapter 2. We're finally to this phrase, and I want us to say all those other things so that when we get to this moment where the angels say, I've got good news that's going to be a cause of great joy, we understand we're not talking about Hallmark greeting card joy. We are talking about joy that can withstand fires. Luke chapter 2. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth into Galilee, to Judea, to Bethlehem, to the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone about them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will be the cause of great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread word concerning what they had been told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured these things up and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which they were just as they had been told. We're gonna look closer at Luke 2:10-11. But take another moment later today and read chapter 2 of Luke again. Because we've been spending a few weeks talking about prophecy and how Jesus is the fulfillment of thousands of years of prophecy, prophecies that go all the way back to the very creation of the world. And Luke here, he just kind of tucks them in as plot points. He just kind of expects you to know them. He says that they left Nazareth and they went to Bethlehem. Both those places were places that were prophesied for the Messiah to live and to be born. He tucks these things in, and I want you to take time to see them and see how much Jesus is the fulfillment. But today I want us to land on Luke 2:10-11. The angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will be cause of great joy for all the people." That Greek word that we translate good news, some other translations will translate that as glad tidings. It's like a salutation. "Hey, glad tidings. What's up?" And it's the same word that we translate as the gospel or as preaching. You know, people don't like getting preached at right now, but the word at its heart, preaching, means good news. "Hey, I've got good news for you today." And it's the same word that Gabriel greets Mary with in chapter 1 of Luke. He says, "I stand in the very presence of God, and I've got good news for you." That underlying Greek sentence in Luke 2, verse 11, if we translated that verse word for word, and not necessarily for our ease of reading, it would read, "Was born to you today a Savior, who is Christ the Lord in the city of David." As we finally focus in and look at the source of our joy, the reason the angel said, "I have good news, glad tidings that are the cause of joy for all the people," it's the three words in verse 11 that are the source of that joy. That we have a Savior that is our Messiah, and he is the Lord. And as we look at those three words, we're going to see that we have a joy that can overcome any circumstance. The first one is soter. That's the Greek word that we translate in Luke 2, verse 11, that's translated Savior, Deliverer, Rescuer. We can take strength from the fact that God has chosen to rescue us. The next word is Christos. We translate that as Christ. It's where we get Christmas. But Christ, here, you know, it's also translated Messiah. It means the anointed. You can think of the very beginning of The Lion King, where Rafiki goes to this little lion cub and puts the red paint on Simba's forehead and says, "It's time." He's the anointed one. He's been chosen. God has chosen to rescue us. And then the last word in verse 11 is Lord. It's the Greek word kurios. It means Lord and Master. The source of our joy is that our Lord has chosen to save us. It doesn't get better than that. How can we have a joy that can overcome any circumstance, any hardship, any fire, any flood, any storm that we experience? It's because our joy is that the Lord, the one who's in charge of all things, has chosen to be our rescuer. Verse 20, the last verse of this passage says, "The shepherds returned and glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen were just as they had been told." That's what happens when joy fills your heart. You go away glorifying and praising God. You go away rejoicing. That's the application. As we finish up this message time, the result of joy in our lives is that it changes the way we live and it changes the way we treat others. When we know what God thinks of us, when we know that he loves us so much that he chose to be our rescuer, we can live with joy. It leads to rejoicing. The result of joy, the joy of the Lord being our strength, is that our heart is so full that we tell other people about it, no matter our circumstances. So that's my challenge for you, is to take the joy of the Lord with you and to live in a way that as you interact with people, once they walk away, you look up to your Heavenly Father and you say, "Do you think I made their day? God, do you think I made them smile? Did I reflect that you love them so much, God, that you chose to be their rescuer?" We're going to enter into a time of communion. And if it's your first time here and you didn't realize that we've got communion at the black tables in little bags, if you need to go grab them, that's fine. We've got people that go and grab them every week. But as you do that, that's a reminder that Jesus has rescued us. The baby that was given to us grew into a man, and he sacrificed himself to rescue us. The reason we can have joy is through his sorrow and through his suffering. So today during our communion, as I pray, I challenge you to recognize what God has done for us and let that be the joy that leads you as you go on through your week. Let me pray. Lord, I pray that we would have joy that knows no end, joy that knows no circumstance, that whatever hardship we're facing, whatever we're going through, whatever excuse we might have, whatever struggle that's weighing us down, that the joy that you give us would be our strength, knowing that we are right with you, that you have rescued us, that you've restored us, and that you are in charge would be our strength. We are so thankful that you sent the light of the world to us. Lord, help that light to give us joy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening. You can stay connected with us throughout the week by following Parkside on social media. To learn more, visit parksidechristian.com.